Hey, dear friends, it is Monday night, January the 11th, 2010. Listen, it's 6 p.m. We've got 1 hour for an engagement, supernaturally, I believe. And so we welcome you to this 1 hour, Voice of Shadow the Darkness. My name is Russ Dizdar, and you can find out everything about us at www.shatterthedarkness.net. I want to welcome you again Monday. Listen, it's been cold everywhere. Gas prices are up. A lot of things occurring all over the world. The world is focused on, Yenim right now and taking a look at where terrorists are trained. And there's, listen, a great confusion really today, depending on, you know, how you look at this. You know, who's pitting who and against who, and who's developing the terrorists and the warriors, and how many are in the United States. So this is something that we all need to keep our eyes on and remember what occurs on airplanes and what sleepers are here in the United States of America. Listen, it's a world in which we know chaos is coming. Everybody feels that. As the old song says, you can feel it coming in the air tonight. But I want you to know right now, for 1 hour, there's an engagement going on here. And we want to welcome everyone. And maybe by the providence of God, you have come by divine appointment to hear what we're going to talk about tonight on this show. If you're brand new, again, welcome. We know that we have, well, a lot of friends, and we appreciate it, from the United States and Canada, the UK, other places, others that have emailed in. And we're grateful to know that you're out there listening, and we pray that we have something of value for you. We're going to tell you about some of those extra things that we can give you along the way, but tonight we're starting a brand new series this week. By the way, I was out for 4 days, so Friday night we had to give a recorded message that went along with last week in dealing with those frozen in time, believers that don't grow. This week, it is the human spirit, identity, and indestructible immortality. Now, listen again. This is the topic for the week, and there's 4 separate nights. The topic is this: the human spirit, identity, and indestructible immortality. Now, there are 3 separate things, but they are inseparable also. By the way, if you're listening right now, you have a human spirit. You are a human spirit, though you have soul and body also. We're going to talk about some of the definitions. We're also going to talk about how the dark side, tries to tap in and replace what should have been there. God's presence, God's love, the character, and, image, the imago Dei, the image of God that has been lost in the fall of the human race. You and I that listen and, I get to do the talking. We are in a world that we understand. And listen, I know what it is. 4 days I've been out, and I want you to know, man, I've had some of the greatest pain that I've had in all of my life. And I won't go into all of it, but it involves my leg. I haven't been able to walk for about three days. But we are up limping around right now. We are but mortal. We are but flesh. We have so many years in this physical body. And so what happens to the physical body, you know, when we, let's think about it right now. Over the years, I've been a pastor and I've done a couple hundred or more funerals. That's right, funerals. That's where I stand in front of a crowd of grieving individuals, a casket, usually to my, left or right, it depends on which funeral home that I'm at, but there's that body lying in that casket. There's that individual that at one moment in time died. I mean, in one moment of time, the breath stopped, the brain stopped, the spirit left the body, and they were gone. And the physical body, still here, taken care of, prepped, laid in a casket, now for people to observe the individual that they've seen. Now, I've been there to see my grandfather, my grandmother. I've been there with my father and many, many, many others, a few hundred others, anywhere from a child that had lost its life to a teenager to, many other ages. And I want you to know that it's always a strange thing, really is, to walk into a funeral home, get there early, go by some of the other rooms where there are others lying in caskets. Shortly, they're going to be buried. They're going to be laid under the ground. None of you ever thought about this or really put your mind to it, but it is really something to think in terms of a life that was lived, and all of a sudden we come to the end of it, that our physical body ends. I was there the day my grandmother died. I was there in the hospital as they came in with those paddles and brought her back three times. The fourth time, she raised her arm and patted me on my cheek and told me to keep myself warm, that she needs to go now. She knew she was going to God. She had utter and sheer and total confidence. There was no fear. There was no tears. There was an absolute expectancy that upon her leaving the physical body, she would see God. Now, I'll tell you about more of that this week, but I want you to know that this is part of what we're going to deal with this week. Monday night, 6 p.m. here, the origin of the human spirit as a distinct personality. Tuesday night on SurviveToThrive.net, 7 p.m. hour, the human spirit, identity, and counterfeit constructs. Wednesday night at 6 p.m. again, spirit, soul, and body, and what leaves when you die. Friday night at 6 p.m., reincarnation versus glorification. And this is where we come in with indestructible immortality. Hey, I want to say welcome to everyone. Listen, you're welcome to email me during the show at shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And many times during the show, I can read that real quick and see what's going on. If it's not too long, I'm going to tell you again, we're way behind on the emails right now. We got probably, again, constantly around 400 or 500 behind, and we're trying to do 20 or 30 responses a day, but it depends. Some of them are lengthy responses, and some are asking for phone calls, and we are trying to get to everyone, and we want to be there, but it is humanly impossible to get to every single one. And I wish we could, but it's just something that can't be done. But we're going to continue to try as many as possible. Want to know that the 31 Days Ablaze, if you go to the ShatterTheDarkness.net site, 31 Days Ablaze devotionals, they're all up current now to this very day, and they should be for the rest of this month each day. Small 10-minute, 15-minute devotion, and there's also a free course. Now, we teach this course locally, and it costs, and it's like a college course, basically, but we've put it up on the web, and we've had it out there a while, but we're giving it away free. It's called Confronting the Powers, and you can go to, again, shatterthedarkness.net. It's got over 20-some hours worth of MP3s, outline notes, and other materials that you can get if you want to go through all the course. There it is, and we want to offer that to you. Going to tell you also that we're going to soon, within this week possibly, announce. Now, we're going to be in Nashville for a conference, April the 24th and 25th, but I don't have the details from Tom Dunn yet, so as soon as we get that, we'll have a web page made. We'll be pumping out the information. Looking forward to seeing many of you come down to Nashville, April 24th and 25th. Details coming. Now, we also have another conference, St. Louis. This is with Tony Kale, Dr. Gregory Reed, a number of others. Now, we will this week put up information on that conference. It is in the early part of April, and it will deal with, it's called the First Christian Symposium on the Paranormal. The First Christian Symposium on the Paranormal, and I will have a web page put up. They've already sent me a flyer, and we'll add some materials to it and get it out there. We're also, we are supposed to put the newsletter out on Friday, but again, we are out for 4 days, and so we will have the newsletter going out tomorrow. That'll give you all this information, updated MP3s, free podcasts, other series that we're doing will all be on that. Now, if you want to get that newsletter free, you got to go to shatterthedarkness.net and scroll down a little bit where you see how to sign up for the newsletter. And we'll make sure you get that every single week. Again, great to be with you this Monday. It is great to feel better also, too. Very grateful that one leg was doing great and fine. The other leg was in agonizing pain. I'm telling you, agonizing pain, unable to walk. So it is, I'm just simply grateful that you were feeling better, getting healed up good, and going to get ready to go back to the woods late this week and start jogging again. Keep myself healthy out there. So keep us in your prayers right now. Listen, Monday night, this is January the 11th in 2012, and we're going to deal with the topic, the origin of the human spirit as a distinct personality. Now, the reason we're going to talk about the origin, we're going to talk about the origin because there are many out there, physicists and mind-brain researchers and many others that are, well, they're searching for the soul. They're looking for the soul of man. They're looking for something more than just the physical construct. The biblical revelation, God's revelation, is that we are body, soul, and spirit. And I want you to understand, as you're listening right now, you are human spirit. If your physical body dies, you leave the body. It seems pretty clear that historically and globally and on an overwhelming majority, it would seem very clear that we all believe that we're not, if the physical body dies, we're going to be somewhere. Do we just end like the end of a song? Like the end of a day. When we die, do we just stop? Is that the end of existence? Now, I'll tell you what, there are those out there. There are those out there that would believe that is true. I feel bad for Richard Dawkins, for atheists. Well, for agnostics that don't know either way, don't have the joy of knowing that they can know. And there are those that simply deny, well, all I can see is my hand, all I can see is the physical structures around me, so therefore, you know, that's all there is. Well, literally, that is not all there is. I mean, that doesn't answer any of the questions of how do we get here, where do we go, what's it all mean. You know, there's that meaning of life then. And so if we nix all the rest, if we're just simply a goldfish, you know, a goldfish, it lives, it swims, it dies. You know, people take them and flush them down the toilet. Something about the human body worldwide that we don't flush it down the toilet. We prep it, we take care of it, we mourn over it. We see a unique individual personality. Of all the funerals I've ever done, each individual, a human being, but distinct. Their own imprint. The only one of them. And so when they are gone from our sight, yeah, it is true. It's my dad is gone. My grandfather's gone. My grandmother's gone. And friends that I've known are gone. I don't see their faces any longer. I don't talk to them anymore. Now, in the world of the New Age and the psychics and the others, they might be saying things like, you know, I see dead people. You know, they believe that the dead hang around. We'll kind of touch on that subject, though that's not the center. The center issue this week will be the reality of the human spirit, the concept of identity. I don't know if you've ever read the psalm that says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't know if you've ever checked out the Hebrew word in the book of Genesis when it refers to creation, bara, a distinct and special act. That we've been created in a distinct and by a special act, a purposed act, planned act. Now, the issue that we're going to deal with is that today, an act of what? Well, we'll deal with this week. And was it an act of chance that we are here as a human race by sheer chance, that somehow, some way, it all spun together? And we kind of just developed the idea of evolve and evolution, and we are evolving even more and more and more and more and more, though there's no transitions, though there's so many holes in that theory. What about the other issue? Well, there's intelligent design. And intelligent design is, well, you can go to the old, what's called in theology, the teleological or the ontological arguments. The idea that, well, there's an intelligence behind all of creation. And that's really generally believed, even by the ancients, creation stories. But when we come down to an ultimate creator, if you look over some of the stories, you're going to find all these finite issues. Then you come to one story that deals with the infinite. Now, one thing in the midst of the origin of the human spirit is the idea nowadays that there are many very intelligent people that are believing that intelligent design means that a master race of intelligent, well, an alien race, a master race of beings, you know, must have seeded the planet and created us and brought us here. So that's the concept you're going to see in all kinds of movies out in the theater. You're going to hear about throughout New Age teaching. You're going to hear about even among remote viewers and psychics and others. There are people that genuinely believe that it's another master race flying around in ships that deposited the human race, kind of left us here, maybe interacted with us along the way a little bit, pyramids and visitations and things like that. And there's this incredible belief in the ufology community and the belief that there's real intelligent alien race, that they're actually interacting with humanity, with military, that they are out there. There are all kinds of signs of this, and people are talking about lights in the skies and abductions and interactions, and there are remote viewers going out saying they're getting onto the ships of the aliens. There's a lot of stories about this. But there's also a lot of unanswered questions, because everything you hear about the aliens, guess what? It ends up that these aliens are on ships. They have to move from place to place. They can even crash, a la Roswell. That they're finite, that they're mysterious, that they're not giving us full disclosure. Matter of fact, they're showing that their nature may be extremely evil. They abduct people. They sexually rape and abuse people. They physically and mentally and emotionally manipulate people. There's all kinds of, well, anybody reading any of the materials, well, they know. Now, I've talked to those who've claimed to be abductees. I've dealt and interacted with them. And I've listened to the stories, and I've listened to the stories of remote viewers and others that say they've engaged the aliens. I've listened to the story of Mr. Sherman, who said he worked for the, well, for the NSA and National Security Agency, and he claims in his book that he was an intuitive connected to a machine, and he was to be the recipient of communications coming down from non-human intelligences. Now again, when you begin to go to the logical conclusion, when you begin to ask the questions, where do the aliens come from? Why do they fly in ships? Why do they abduct people? Why do they sexually manipulate people? Why do they do these things? Why are they so mysterious and hidden? All these questions come up. And we really have no real disclosure, real final answers. It seems as though the majority believe there's something there, but we cannot nail them down. And they won't allow themselves to be seen, observed, researched. There is, in many ways, direct correlation between what is considered alien presence and demonic extra-dimensional entities. They demonstrate activity in the exact same way. And so the big issue tonight is, well, did some alien race create us? I want to tell you a story. Years ago, as I was doing a lot of research, and I would go to the Theosophical Society, you know, this kind of a secret society, Theosophical, you think in terms of Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, and so forth. But I would go to kind of, well, I was there on an evangelistic mission, a prayer mission, but I wanted to observe and kind of see what it is they're into, what they're believing, what they're, you know. And as I watched and listened, it was many things that I got into in the end of the 60s and 70s. Finite spirits, finite spirituality, counterfeit spirituality, all kinds of experiences. They're very real, but the question is, did they come from God or some other source? So one night I'm listening to one of their lecturers who spent 40 years studying and searching and looking for extra-dimensional entities or non-human intelligence or aliens. And he described his 40 years of study and research. After everything was over, I went up to the man, kind of astounded, actually, because in the middle of the meeting, when he was talking about the aliens and abductees and the abductees talk about how they have been manipulated and sexually, assaulted and taken against their will and all this kind of stuff. And then as he began to talk about the aliens created us and left us here, and they've never really been back to help us, and they haven't, why do we die, and why is there war, and why is there evil, and did this master race leave us this way? Are we dysfunctional? Creation of theirs? Are we some kind of mess up? I mean, there's literally those who believe that the aliens dropped us off here as a messed up genetic project. And they're just observing us like we're some amoeba, like we're something under a microscope. They're just looking at us like a bug. And as this man talked more and more and more about the aliens and their non-involvement, they're not helping us, but his belief that they created us, well, I raised my hand and asked the question in the group. I said, well, if the aliens did create us, and if they didn't leave us in this situation, and if they haven't helped us, and if they're only researching and observing us and abducting us and all that kind of stuff, can we stop using God's name in vain and start using the name of aliens in vain? You know, aliens darn this and aliens darn that. Now, I did it somewhat as a spoof. And immediately there was an immediate reaction of laughter for about 3 seconds. Then everybody kind of stopped. And you can see them thinking. Instead of using God's name in vain, as so many do, in so many cases, people are cursing God for the conditions of a fallen world. So the story is with the aliens, if they really did make us, if they're the master race, well, can we curse them and no longer, don't curse God any longer? I mean, another question is, and I brought this up, if the aliens that fly around in ships that show that they are nothing less than finite beings, supposedly a little higher than us, where do they come from? What master race made that master race? And if another finite master super race made that race, they made us. Well, this can keep going back like the question one talk show host brought up the other night on his radio. If God created us, then who created God? And if we go back behind God and whatever created God, who created that? Now, that's where you get into the issue of the uncreated creator, the first cause, the infinite, immaterial, immortal God creating material, finite in time and space, and then us as beings. So you can look at all the other concepts of origins. Only one demonstrates an incredible sense of dignity and worth and incredible. Well, let's take a look at it. The origins of the human spirit as a distinct personality. Now, many people can go back to Genesis and they can read in Genesis about the creation, special act, and we're given not a scientific page-by-page-by-page, you know, definition with all the physics involved. I mean, we're dealing with the physics of God beyond the highest of the physics of man in the immaterial, you know, creating material. And by the way, it wasn't ex nihilo in the sense of the old theologians saying, well, out of nothing something. You know, God created out of nothing something. What they mean is, out of no separate, independent, pre-existent material that God found floating in the universe, and then out of that he made, well, the planets and then eventually us. No, it's not pre-existent material. And it is material coming out of God, out of God who is spirit and immaterial. There is a, well, if you think in terms of my voice, that is a projection of me. Everything that I'm saying, everything that is being spoken coming out of me, you are now hearing. There is a sense in which we think in terms of creation, that all of a sudden, out of nothing pre-existent, there is no universe, there is nothing. But let me say also this, and you got to grab your, you know, you got to grab your notes here for a moment. There was no nothing. There wasn't nothingness and then all of a sudden something. There simply was God, someone, vast, immaterial, immeasurable, infinite, glorious, incredible. Out of God came creation. Now you can see that in Genesis 1 and 2. You can see that in John's Gospel chapter 1. You can see that in Colossians chapter 1. You can see that in Hebrews chapter 1. In all of the biblical revelation spans 1,600 years, the picture is still the same. Out of God came something. Out of someone came something. Behind the reality of human identity, out of this concept of human personality, is the backdrop that relational personality, an infinite personality, infinite spirit, infinite, created finite. If we can begin to grasp the concept of Imago Dei, the image of God, let us create Adam, humankind, in our image and in our likeness, male and female. And so, out of God comes the origins of material existence, which includes humanity, which includes the first, because there is an immediate act of creation in the beginning with Adam, the man, and then the direct and special and continued creation of the woman. Now, we know that in linguistics and in DNA, everything backs up. You know, you've had a grandfather, he had a grandfather, he had a grandfather. It all backs up to one human pair. This is the story, again, of the creation. There is the immediate creation of mankind, distinctly man and woman, male and female. From there now is the procreation. God, by design, created us with the capacity to procreate. Now, here is where we get into something. I don't want to call it mysterious, but I want to say that it's very deep. And it deals with your personal identity. You're listening to a voice that maybe many of you have listened to and heard, many of you that write to me. Letters and letters have come this week saying, I've listened to a lot of, because we've got hundreds of hours of materials out there now, and people have said, I've listened to many hours of your stuff. I've had a few people say they've listened to all of it, which is amazing to me, because that means, if they're listening to all of it, that means a couple thousand hours worth of stuff out there. So I'm amazed, but the bottom line is I'm just simply saying that you understand my voice. You know my voice. If you hear this voice, when you hear me on Tuesday night, say, hey, it's Tuesday night, 6, 7 p.m., survivethrive.net, January the 12th. You're going to know this voice. If you hear me in the daily devotions, if you hear me on a talk show, by the way, we're going to be on a talk show with Dr. Stan Monteith, Tuesday night late and Friday night in the evening. We'll put up the times on the website tonight, make sure it's up there late tonight, and everybody will see it tomorrow. But people, and I recognize Dr. Stan Monteith's voice. I can recognize Steve Quayle's voice. We have a distinct voice. Now, let me back this up a little bit. You have a distinct face, a distinct fingerprint, a distinct personality. You have a distinct human spirit. There is body, soul, and spirit. If you look in the original creation, the immediate creation when God creates, and he breathed into humankind the breath of life. This is spirit breathing in and creating the first human spirit. And man became a living soul. The idea of the soul is the inner expression of your mind, your will, your emotions. It's the personality beaming through your physical body that people recognize and people come to learn about, inseparable from you as a human spirit. Ultimately, we were made to be one, body, soul, and spirit, one identity. Because of the fall of the human race, the injection of the sin code, the removal of the Spirit of God and our human spirit becoming dead to God, and the death code coming in. That's right. From the very beginning, death is an intrusion, an abnormality. It was not meant. We weren't supposed to do this. That's why Jesus came and died. That's why he came to conquer death. That's what his death is all about. New Agers don't understand that. I'm afraid that many don't understand that what happened there was a conquering of the issue of death. See, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible teaches that death is an abnormal intrusion and an enemy of mankind. Now, mark down, if you would, or check it out later, the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Again, the reason God became human flesh, identifying with us, it all deals with conquering the one that had power over death and freeing us from the fear of death. Oh, I want you to know something. The death of Christ not only blasts apart the finality of death, it brings a demonstration that death is an enemy. You can read about that, 1 Corinthians 15. You know, death is an enemy. The mortal will eventually put on immortality. But it does involve you as a human spirit. You're listening to me right now alive. A dead man, as we know it, a dead man living, you know, a dead man. I could walk into a funeral home and there in that casket, there's a man lying there for a day and a half and he's dead. And people are going to come in and they're going to see and they're going to say in their minds and hearts, he's dead. The funeral home understands that he's dead. Maybe at the hospital or the coroner, whoever pronounced him dead. Dead means dead. And the physical body, obviously we know the physics in the sense of, at first, you know, rigor mortis, you know, hardening, and then later liquefying, and eventually, you know, the breaking down ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And to me, that's an amazing thing. That faces that you have seen can one day be gone. I remember my father as we were going up and carrying him to Riverside Cemetery, the military cemetery, and going to do the service. You know, thinking in my mind, my dad, 70 years old, dying way before he should have because of his illnesses. And I said to myself, his face doesn't even exist here anymore. It's no longer on the human grid. You can't take a picture of his face. You can't look into his face and talk and see the expression of him and his personality speaking back. So what happened? I mean, physically, he's dead. At a moment in time, he died. And at that split moment, something happens to the construct of a human being. It wasn't meant to be, shouldn't have been, considered an intrusion, an enemy, a result of both Satan's entrance and the wages of sin. There is inside the human body, the human DNA, the human construct, the death code. I mean, you could go to the physicist, you could go to the scientist, you can go to everybody you want to. You can go to geneticists and look and see that there's something about our genetics, something that we lose along the way that we no longer continue to, well, renew ourselves or keep. Something is missing or something has been injected. And you can't get away from it. You and I right now have gone for about 37 minutes into this program. And that's now behind you. That now is history, no less history than 1,000 years ago. You really can't get it back. And so as you and I live in the present moment and we live for the next moment and the next day and the next week and the next so forth, the fact of death in the human race, I mean, we know that it's here because we got to deal with it. Psychologists tell us that it's one of the major concepts that we avoid talking about. Death. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of tonight, this week, it's called The Human Spirit, Identity, and Indestructible Mortality. Tonight's specific topic is the origin of the human spirit as a distinct personality. See, whether you think in terms of your spirit, your soul, your body, when you look at another person, you're dealing with them as a whole, per se. Solically, the expression of their personality is coming through, but they as a spirit behind that flesh and bone, it's the human spirit. Now, we look in the Bible and we see that Ezekiel left his body by the Holy Spirit. We see that Paul, by God, left his body. And we see this kind of out-of-the-body thing when it's done by God. It's a possibility. And in the cases where God does it, it's about instruction, revelation, and, well, we can see that in Scripture. Now, there's a counterfeit to that by the dark side that people are tapping into left and right. They have no idea of the danger they are in. But it's the human spirit. That's the real you. A man was sitting next to me the other day. We were talking about life and death and personality and all this. And I said, well, look, if your arms were cut off and your legs were cut off and thrown away or whatever, buried, whatever. If you were a person that was in an accident, your arms were cut off, your legs were cut off, but you're still there. Is it still you? And of course they would say, yes, I don't have my legs, I don't have my arms, but it's still me. See, the concept of human personality is grounded in your human spirit, expressed solically, body, soul, and spirit, expressed solically, your soul, the psuche, where there is mind and will and volition. And so when somebody's talking and expressing themselves and sharing and, you know, you see somebody, well, you're literally getting the soulical side coming through the physical body. But let me tell you something. If you read 1 Corinthians 2 and 3, you're going to read about how, who knows the thoughts of a man except the Spirit within him? That's right. Who knows? Like, for example, right now, you could be thinking about what you're thinking about. Who knows your thoughts better than you on the inside? Who's the you on the inside? That's you, the human spirit. That's you, that if something happens to your physical body, you depart. You, as a human spirit, leave. Remember Stephen, when he's being martyred in the book of Acts? He says, into your hands I commit my spirit. Remember the book of James, where it talks about when the body's, you know, the spirit is absent, the body's dead. When there's biblical death means the spirit is gone, the body is definitely dead. Definitely dead. Now grasp this for a second. Lazarus died. Now, it was 4 days. Very clear to everybody's understanding, in that day, this is a dead man. Very clear if you go back and you read there in the Gospel of John about Lazarus and him dying and being wrapped and put into a tomb, and Jesus showing up and commanding Lazarus, come forth. And one of the ladies there saying, by this time he stinks, referring to the rotting of his body. I've been involved in law enforcement and only had one occasion where there was a scent of a rotting corpse. It's very distinct. And it's not a great thing to see. Especially in tragedies and in crime. Or going in and finding a parent dead or a child dead or a friend dead. And you can't revive them. When they're biblically dead, their spirit has left. Let me read you something that maybe you've never heard. Out of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 7. And the dust returns to the ground it came from. And the spirit, referring to the spirit of man, and the spirit of man returns to God who gave it. When a human body is killed, murdered, dies, when the human spirit, when you actually leave, well, ultimately there's a returning to God who gave it. Ultimately, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, there is a judgment. Now, there's something very important to realize concerning the origins of the human spirit. You can go to the book of Hebrews also if you want and study this. And I think again, whether you're a believer in Christ yet or not, and I make no bones about the fact that whoever listens, friend or foe, my great desire is that you come to know God, come to know Christ, being born of the Spirit of God. That's a possibility for you right this moment. If you don't know God, if you don't know Christ, if you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, that's something that can happen here in the next couple of minutes. Because God's knocking at the door of your heart. God is reaching out to you. It doesn't make any difference if you're military or if you're a scientist or if you're a Luciferian listening in or someone monitoring the show. Maybe a new ager, remote viewer, psychic. I know a lot of believers listen, but I know a lot of others, and sometimes by the direct hand of God, somehow, whether live right now, or by the archives, or someone sending you this, there is an incredible, distinct, personal invitation, a pursuit. I want you to hear the fact that God pursues mankind. God wants mankind. God came for mankind. And that's why, regardless of where you're at, atheist, nihilist, existential, whatever your background is, do you know God? Do you know the living Christ? Do you know the reasons? what he's done there. Oh, it involves the origin of the human spirit. For believers, they can go to the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, and twice, we read about, well, the father of our spirits. I mean, we're talking about the source of the human spirit. And you can read about that in Hebrews chapter 12. We simply read these words. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? You see, something has to happen to your human spirit that is dead to God in order to be back with God in the end. Now, there is very clearly another mention of this in chapter 12 of Hebrews. Verse 23 goes on to talk about this, whose names are written in heaven. Referring to believers in Christ, you have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. Again, the recognition of the human spirit. Now, the origin, of course, in creation by special immediate act, God creates the physical construct, the body. Now, that's an amazing thing itself. You know, the brain. Well, the mind-brain, is it the same thing? Consciousness, is it the same thing? Where does mind, brain, soul, spirit all connect? Now, we can look for definitions on that. But right now, you're listening to somebody who's connected. Spirit, soul, body, mind, consciousness, all of it. You're connected right now because you're listening. You're thinking through. You are, even from deep within you, you can stop and think about your own thoughts, like it says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 3. Who else knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man inside of him? See, deep inside me, I can transcend even what I'm thinking. When you sit back and transcend what you are thinking, you're dealing with the human spirit. When you sit back and think of what your thoughts are, and you evaluate your thoughts, you know, sometimes we talk to ourselves. Everybody talks to themselves. What kind of pizza do you want tonight? I don't know. Do I want pepperoni? Do I want mushroom? You know, we go back and forth, and then we make a decision. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, we are fearfully, wonderfully, incredibly made. This idea of the human spirit, the soul of a being, expressed to, connected to, animating through the physical body. Connected. Is there connection in the brain? Of course there is. As a matter of fact, if something happens, you get in a car wreck and there's deep brain injury, you may lose motor skills and the ability to speak or walk or even, you know, think. Because there can be a damaging to the physical construct, but not to your human spirit. You hear of, and I think Wednesday night I will deal with near-death experiences. You hear about people that said that on the operating table, they lifted up out of their body and looked back down on themselves. Folks, there are experiences that are real, but we got to be careful about the conclusions. We also got to be very, I think, awestruck and in reverence to the fact that you and I both, right this moment, we have a human spirit. The real Russ inside. Now, that's not like there's a separate Russ, the soul Russ, the body Russ. There's not three separate Russes. There's not three separate yous. It's you on the distinct level, ultimately, of spirit, then soul, then body. When you die physically, and the body is definitely dead, and you, what leaves? Your spirit leaves and returns to God, and there's a dealing with whether we've rejected him, whether we've accepted him, whether we knew him, whether we, you know, spit at the cross, whether we've refused to love the truth and so be saved, or whether we have just, you know, told God to get lost. Listen, if you don't want God now, you're not going to get him later. If you do not want God, the origin, I mean, listen, God who made us, God who came for us, simply put, we're the ones that messed up. We sinned. He didn't. We opened the door to an evil presence that lied. We listened to the lie. And the fact is that lie is deeper than ever right now worldwide. The depth of the spiritual counterfeit lying is going to, well, be it's almost unimaginable. Except the fact that God has given us insight. God who is spirit. The Spirit of God is the originator of the writings of Scripture so that we have the Word of God. The Spirit of God's involved in the immediate creation of mankind, including the human spirit. He's the father of our human spirit. He is the originator. Now, listen, when it comes to procreation, and I have a daughter, I have a child, and it's an amazing reality that at the moment of conception, and listen, the physics of conception, given as a gift by God in which he is still involved, at the moment of conception, something occurs. There is no conception without the immediate creation of a brand new human spirit that never existed before. Did you know that? There's no pool of human souls sitting up in heaven waiting to be thrown down. No, this is an immediate act. This is an immediate act that involves God, but also procreation. The male and the female, it involves all of the DNA, the chromosomes, all the rest. But when it comes to the moment, which is literally an unsplittable moment, almost like an atomic moment, just like new birth, just like the coming glorification, probably just like the original creation of the original first human spirit. From that point on, when God created the woman, from their creation or procreation of a child and child and child and child and child, we have this incredible, absolutely, I mean, listen, what father, what mother, usually, what good father or mother? I remember my daughter was born. I mean, I put my hand on the belly of my wife when she was pregnant, and all the way, and I'm telling you the truth, I thought my wife was beautiful. And we knew there's a little baby in there. But we knew when it began, at the moment of conception. Like in the incarnation, when the angel of God was explaining the work of the Spirit of God, the conception would be caused by God, the Holy Spirit. Thus, God to human. Thus, incarnation. Thus, the God-man Christ. When it comes to the procreation of a man and a woman at the moment of conception, something miraculous occurs. And I believe God is attentive and involved right there in that unsplittable moment of time. Conception, because the physical material side, its life force comes from the human spirit. Moment of conception, the human spirit is generated. Created, made. You were you at the moment of conception. The physical side then empowered in this amazing, fearfully and wonderfully made inside the womb of a mother. The development from that moment in time is no different than the development when you're 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. From that moment of conception, the physical body begins to develop. Everything develops. Month after month, development. And in God's design, in that ninth month or so, the development is birth. Doesn't mean you weren't already there. You were already there. You now come to the physical world. Already you, named by a father and a mother, given a name. But the Bible teaches clearly that God knew you in the womb. I mean, even the first chapter of Jeremiah will show you that. You were known inside the womb. And this origin of the human spirit in the fall of mankind includes the fact that we are disconnected from God. Did you know that? That the sin code, the death code are there because every baby begins to grow. Every baby begins to learn how to be selfish and tell a lie, to become rebellious and willful and so forth. Because it's inside of us since the fall of the human race. Now, there's an answer to all of that. It occurred at the cross when Christ came and there physically died as the sinless one. Oh, did you know that he went down and preached to the spirits? Did you know that the resurrection of the physical body was done by the Spirit of God? He was made alive. Did you know that Jesus is the only one in human history who's ever said, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And of course, he said that before he called forth Lazarus to return to the physical body, which he would instantaneously heal. Lazarus, human spirit, was called back. For those who are believers in Christ out there, you realize that at the glorification, the coming glorification, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive will be caught up. For them, their spirits had left, whether 10 years ago, 1,000 years ago, absent from the body, present with the Lord, their spirits are present. Like when Stephen died, into your hands I commit my spirit. When at the transfiguration, the disciples saw Moses and Elijah. In a physical body, no. In their spirit bodies, yes. Identifiable. They were still Moses and Elijah, living hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, involved in the discussion of the departure of Christ at the cross. That's why the Bible says God is the God of the living. He's the living God. In reference to those in the Old Testament who knew him, or now who know him, when we die, we immediately go to be with the Lord. That is our spirit. If we're born of the Spirit of God, given the gift of eternal life, our name's written in that book, man. We go to be with the Lord. Well, listen, the origin of that new life is Jesus Christ. I urge you to accept him as Lord and Savior right now. Write to me if you need to know more about that. We'll see you tomorrow night, survivetothrive.net, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net.